Well, hello. If we haven't met, my name is Rob, and I'll be teaching this evening. And so tonight we're going to be thinking a little bit about generosity. And so just to get our minds working, I have just a short little set of pictures just to kind of get us in touch with what makes us feel generous. If you have been around, you know that we're in a series around values that are connected to our vision statement. And the vision statement is God-dependent, Jesus-rooted, and Spirit-led. And then these values are ways in which this becomes a pattern of living. And so we started with Scripture, and last week Chris talked about prayer, and tonight we're going to think about generosity. Now, we made up these booklets for the kids, but the reason I gave one to everyone is because, well, I suppose, one, we had way too many, but also part of what I wanted to do with this being an all-community service was the bits of Scripture that we're going to use tonight. Two of those stories we're going to actually read from here, just as a way to kind of hear a story in a different way, but also to understand that we're trying to be intentional about being an all-age gathering. So the value around generosity, if you were to read the formal statement, says this: we value generosity. We are committed to being a generous community, giving freely and cheerfully of our attention, abilities, resources, time, and spiritual gifts. And so I have been thinking a little bit about this and asking the question, what is it to be generous, and what really is generosity all about? And so if you were to look up generosity in the dictionary, you would see that it's something that is more than is necessary or is usual. It's large, a liberal kind of in giving, a liberal serving of pie, those kinds of things. It is not selfish. It's a readiness and willingness to give money and other valuable things. It's an attitude of grace, an act of kindness. It's big-hearted and open-handed. And so when you think about all that, you begin to realize, and I begin to realize, that generosity is both an attitude as well as being an action. And so if it's helpful in terms of the interplay of generosity, the opposite of generosity would be stingy. So if you can think about what stingy is, then generosity is on the other scale. So as we think about generosity, it also then moves us to ask the question, what is God's generosity, and how is God a generous God? And I think from the very beginning, we see generosity being in the nature of God. We see this in creation, in God's provision for his creation, in how he cares, in his grace, and in his lavish love, especially seen in the gift of Jesus, his son. And in understanding that we are created in the image of God, then generosity should also be something that is active and alive in who we are. And so it's something that we are to work to become generous. And so there's a scripture that is in 2 Corinthians verses 9, 10 through 15. I'm going to read it, but if you'd like to follow along, it's right there, page 1758 in the Pew Bibles. And this is what begin us thinking about what it looks like, what generosity looks like in action, what it looked like in the early church, and what effect generosity has on people, and also how it mirrors who God is. So this is 2 Corinthians 9, 10 through 15. Paul writes this, "For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God, for your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. And they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given to you. Thank God for this gift too wonderful for words." And so in that set of scripture, there's lots of different things. But in reading it, we'll see that generosity is intrinsically linked to what we have received from God and then what we are to share with others. Generosity, I would say, is the stuff that grace is made of. In God's generous love, we see this in God's generous love for his creation, for humanity, and so much of God's generosity is in the picture of Jesus coming to us, God sending his son in order that we may be reconnected in relationship with him. So this last week, there were two stories that have been rolling around in my head, and they have informed my thinking about generosity and continue to challenge me in my understanding of generosity and what it means to live generously. And the first is the story of the sheep and the goats. And so I'm going to read, if you want to follow along, it's in this little booklet on, I don't think it has pages, but it would be page 2. So this is the sheep and the goats, and this is the story Bible that that our kids, our younger kids, use. So Jesus told his disciples they were like sheep when they cared for each other, and Jesus was their shepherd. They would be like goats if they didn't listen and didn't care. He said, "Do you remember when you fed the woman who was hungry?" "Yes," they replied. "Do you remember when you visited the old man in prison?" he asked. "Oh, yes. He was lonely," they answered. "Do you remember when you gave clothing to the children who didn't have anything to wear?" Jesus asked. "Yes, they were very cold," they remembered. "Every time you care for someone, it is like you are caring for me too," Jesus explained. "God will welcome you into the kingdom of heaven." The disciples wanted to be like sheep. They knew they would be welcome in heaven. And of course, if you read the full text of Jesus talking about this, the people who are called the sheep, who have done these things, are a little bit confused, and they say, "Well, when, Jesus, did we see you hungry and feed you? And when did we see you thirsty, give you a drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in? When did we see you needing clothing? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? When did this all happen?" And Jesus said, "Whatever you have done to the least of my brothers or sisters, you have done for me." And so I think that what I noticed about this and what kind of stirred for me is that generosity cannot be shared unless we first take the time to notice, to pay attention to what's going on around us. This parable seems to be all about Jesus talking about being aware of what's going on and responding to the needs in front of us. And so when we think about this in terms of generosity, generosity is given or is seen depending on how we choose to respond to those we come in contact with. And I know in my own life, I as I have been thinking this week and just kind of taking inventory of what goes on in my head, the attitudes that I have, or the prejudice, or the bias that I think about, all of these things are they work at shaping how I respond to people And sometimes that's good and sometimes that's bad. And so generosity is all tied up in there. And I don't know how it is for you, but I find that it's easier to be generous to others when my act of generosity is acknowledged or maybe even reciprocated. I think often of driving, and we've had lots of construction, so you maybe had this experience too, where somebody will come, you've been in this long line, and somebody will come cruising up really fast, maybe even on the shoulder, and then they kind of jam in right in front of you, and you're like, oh, but then they wave, and you're like, well, okay, that's nice that you wave, thank you. But when they don't wave, it's kind of like in my mind, there's a whole different scenario of what I might like to wave to them, or that I might want to gently tap the back of their car. I think sometimes too, when I'm playing sports, I the one thing that really seems to bug me is people who play cheap. And so when somebody hits me or is going hard or whatever, I've had my share of stitches and things. When they say, oh, sorry, I'm like, okay, well, that's good. It's just part of the game. But when they're really cheap, then I kind of want to look for the opportunity to be cheap back to them. That's just not, I don't think, how generosity is supposed to operate. We're supposed to be generous in our attitudes towards people without it being tied to wanting something in return. Now, the second story is the story of the widow's coins. And again, I'll read from the little booklet that you have. The widow's offering. This is what this story says. Jesus sat down outside a temple and taught the disciples about how to share. Do you see that rich man in fancy robes? Jesus asked the disciples. They looked around and they saw him. He twirled his robes when he saw that they were watching him. I must be very special, thought the rich man. The man in fancy robes stopped in front of a money box outside of the temple. He slowly reached into his money purse and pulled out several coins. One by one, he held them up to the sun so that they flashed for all to see. It's time for me to give to the poor, he said very loudly. The coins made a loud clang as he dropped them into the money box. Now Jesus asked the disciples another question. Do you see that poor old widow? Jesus whispered the question because he didn't want to scare her. She looked this way and that. She tried to hide in the crowd. Then she bent over the money box. Clink, clink. Her two tiny coins barely made a sound as she dropped them in. The old woman reached her hand into her pocket. It was empty. Quietly, the poor woman shuffled away. Did you notice, asked Jesus, the man in fancy robes gave just a little of his riches and showed off a lot. The widow gave only two coins, the only two coins she had, and kept quiet about it. She shared everything. She is the one who gave the most. This is how I want you to share. And as I reflected on that story this week, I realized that there's an element of generosity that is also connected to trust, to trusting God, that He will, in fact, provide. And there's something about generosity that moves against selfishness, about self-reliance. And on top of it, sometimes in being generous or in encountering generosity, it's having to go without. That we say no to something we want in order that we can be generous in a different way. And I find that this especially comes into play when I think of tithing. That there's always seems to be something in our house that needs to be fixed, or there's something that needs to be bought, or there's something that we're behind on. And no matter how I think it, I can always find some way that I might be tempted to use the money rather than tithing. And so I have these battles, these internal battles about giving. And I will say, though, that despite having this kind of dissonance often in my head, that if I trace back our stories of family, God truly has provided. And it does teach me that God is trustworthy. But it's still this element of trust that is required to let go, to trust that God will be, that God will provide. And then it's this tension, I think, also that relying on God seems to be somewhat more of a chore, or at least an abstract, than trying to rely on myself, on my own means. And I find, too, that it seems to be easier to be generous with the leftovers than it is to say no to something that I need, or that I think I need, or frankly, that I just want. And I can give you an example. From time to time, when we're down at Midtown, I like to grab a coffee from Starbucks. So I'll go in and I'll order an Americano. And coming out, we often walk down towards the Bessboro. And usually, in front of Midtown, there's somebody playing. There's playing music, or there's just somebody asking for help. And so that leftover change is really easy for me to kind of drop off and to feel good about being generous. But I realized this week that I actually have never just given the $5 I had in my hand to that person and gone without a coffee. And I think sometimes that illustrates a little bit of how generosity means having to say no to something that I want for a bigger thing. Not, I'm not making a case that every time you see somebody, you should just give them money. What I'm saying is that for myself, it was just an interesting observation that it's easy for me to give leftover change versus my full coffee money. Because generosity, in the end, at times means saying no to myself and yes to someone or something else. And so when we look at these two stories on top of each other, generosity should be seen in how we organize our time, our energy, and our resources, including money, the stuff that we need to live on. James points out in James chapter 1 that we are called as followers of Christ to be generous. And he writes this: we should be especially generous with our money when it comes to the work of God's kingdom, using our money to care for the needy, to look after the orphans and widows, and to feed the poor. And so when you think about that, that's a very familiar set of words together. God seems to say that over and over and over in the Old Testament and the New Testament, that there's this idea of taking care of orphans, of widows, of making sure that they have food, that they have shelter, and so forth. That there's this idea that the community is to be generous when it comes, especially to widows and orphans and those who are needy. And so part of that happens in our context with tithing, that we use the money to facilitate care and to do lots of different things. But generosity is bigger than just giving some money to God. It's this idea of giving above and beyond. And what that looks like is not just, I don't mean giving to the church, I mean that in general, that generous is always about more than what's usual, about a large portion. And so that's kind of a challenge as I think about it in my own life, of what it looks like to be generous. But then I'm reminded in this thinking that God defines wealth quite differently than how we tend to. From God's perspective, rich is not what we earn and keep. Instead, rich is defined by what we are given and then what we give away. We are to be rich towards God by being generous with others. And Timothy writes this in 1 Timothy 6. He says, "Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future so that they may experience true life." So we are called to be generous. But what prevents generosity? I have been asking myself these questions. What is that, as I think about it, at some levels it seems that you have this calling to be generous, but then what prevents me from being generous? And I listed a few attitudes that I notice that at times creep into my own life, and perhaps you will resonate with some of these. One is a stingy attitude. And often I find that attitude is connected to an attitude of entitlement. That that this stuff here, I'm not talking necessarily about money, I'm talking about my stuff. This is mine, and I'm not sharing. I worked hard to get this. I sacrificed to get this, and so forth and so on. That I'm entitled to these things. And if you out there would work harder, you too could have this stuff. And so I find myself sometimes being stingy that way. Other attitudes that I notice at times are discontentment with what I have, or jealousy of what others have, resentment at not having more, or what I suppose I even define as enough. What is enough? I seem to want more and more sometimes. Other things that prevent generosity I've noticed is unchecked spending. So not bothering to track how much money I'm going through, and then suddenly there's actually no money to be generous with. It's an empty bank account. So sometimes just paying attention to how we're spending and working that way just allows us just practically to have resources to be generous with. Sometimes it's about idolizing money or elevating money to some status, higher status than just simply a currency of trade, a trade currency. There's times when I no longer see money as a resource. Rather, it seems to become this bigger thing that I want to hoard, that I want to kind of somehow be the self-reliant person, this financially self-reliant, and kind of hoard and stack things away and not share. But I'm finding that generosity breaks the hold of money in my life. And that there's this kind of back and forth of as we are loose and generous, then God continues to provide, and I begin to also understand what I actually need and what I don't need, and what's actually worth buying and what's not worth buying. I think as parents, you kind of go through that when your kids are little, and they have no concept, and they just want everything. I want this. Can we buy this? Can we buy this? It's only this. It's only that. And sometimes I feel like that's one approach in terms of that prevents generosity, is that everything we look to want to have, we make it harder and harder to become generous. But one thing that I have been encouraged about is, and maybe it's this irony in God's own generosity, is that despite the places that I fumble generosity and the attitudes that creep in and the ways that I miss the mark at times, it's just there's this God who is generous in allowing me time to learn and to grow, and with these gentle reminders. And one of those reminders for me is the communion table. I think every week as we come to this table, it's a reminder of a God who is generous, a God who wants so much to have a relationship that he pursued us and pursued us and pursued us. He sent his son so that his son could begin to repair the brokenness of sin. He's working to make all things new, that we can be reconnected. And so this coming reminds me of all these things, of a God who is generous, of a God who has generous love. The table reminds us of all of these things. St. Augustine, sometime in the 4th and 5th century, preached a sermon on the Lord's Supper, in which he reflected on one of the deep truths of Christian faith, is that through participation of the Lord's Supper, we are transformed into the body of Christ given for this world. And from this teaching was extrapolated the phrase, "Behold what you are, become what you receive." In other words, this idea that look in to who and see who you are, and the places of deficiency, the places that God's work is rebuilding, and understand that this is who you are, this is who I am. And as we come to the table, we receive this gracious gift, this generosity, this healing, this hope, this restoration. And that we then are to move out to be the same thing for others. And so the point of this whole behold what you are, become what you receive, is that every time we receive the Lord's Supper, we are transformed. At least we should have this transforming process going on a little more fully into the nature of Jesus, so that the divine love made that makes us, that made us and flows through us, can become more fully expressed in the world. In other words, we are called to be Christ to the world, to be generous to others in the way that God has been generous to us. And so as we come to the table, we come to receive God's generosity. As we move away from the table, we move away to be God's generosity. We reciprocate what has been given to us. I've been spending a lot of time thinking about believing, about what it actually means to believe something. And I think this week specifically about what it means to be generous. And I don't mean just in this intellectual way, like recognizing something in my mind, but how believing something should make some kind of difference in a pattern of living. And so I began to think about, well, what does it mean to believe in generosity? So I began to parallel that with some of the other things I believe. Like, I believe it's good to exercise. If you hung out with me, you would see that I exercise occasionally. That I exercise. I believe it's good to spend time with my family. If you hang around, you would see that we spend time together as a family. I believe it's good to volunteer in the community. If you spent time with me, you would know that I do volunteer in the community. But what do I believe about being generous? If you followed me around, would you actually see generosity in action? Would you say that I am generous in my attitudes, with my things, with my money? But through this wrestling with what it means to believe, I have come to believe that saying yes to God is saying yes to living a life of generosity. And so this weekend, we think about Thanksgiving and reminded about bounty, about provision. And the word provision finds its root in the idea of forethought and preparation, of foreseeing a need and making a plan to take care of it. And this is the story of God's relationship with his creation. It is what God has committed himself to do in our lives, to generously care for us, provide for us, and to love us. But what is our response? Do we acknowledge the goodness and the generosity of God? I'm realizing that being generous is a process that starts with an awareness of having received something good. That gratitude is a doorway to generosity. When I am grateful, it leads to a feeling of appreciation for both the gift and the giver of the gift, for their generosity towards me. And when this feeling of appreciation becomes a voiced expression of gratitude, some kind of out loud thank you, the response in me of thanksgiving brings me to a place of both appreciating generosity, but also wanting to live generously, to be generous with my things and my attitudes and with my money. And so this weekend, Thanksgiving, is a chance to reflect on the generosity around us, ways that we have experienced generosity, and also the ways that we could be more generous. Often I hear people's stories, and their stories of what's going on in their life are always an encouragement to me. And sometimes the people talk about their struggles, and that also stirs in me as it calls me to pray and to support them. And so what I'd like to do for the remainder of our time is to collectively tell the story of God's generosity in our own lives, and also to think about the places in which we would like to grow in our generosity, which brings us to these these boards and posters. Some of you may know that I lived in Chicago when I was in high school, and I spent a lot of time taking the subway back and forth. And one thing I noticed about the subway is it's just a really a prime place for people to put up handbills and posters. And often, as I would wait for the subway, I would read through the posters and see what was going on. And sometimes I'd pull out a marker and kind of respond to what they were advertising. I'm not sure if that's what they had in mind, but it was a way to pass the time. After university, I spent some time living in Toronto, and I had an artist friend who also put up posters, and he one time did this project in which he put a whole set of these posters all over subway stations and so forth, of just a picture of himself, and he invited people to write things back to him. And so these boards are really an opportunity for us to reflect on generosity and to write and tell the story of generosity in our own lives, to reflect on the good things from the simple to the more magnificent. So in what ways do you see God's generosity unfolding in your life? How about in the relationships with your friends and your family? And also, Thanksgiving is also a time to say thank you to God, to a friend, to a family member, or a colleague. And it's often great to be able to say that out loud to someone, but these cards here also give us the opportunity to write a thank you to someone, to say thank you for your generosity in my life. And of course, the table is here, this picture of God's generosity. And so our practice here at the Connection is there'll be some CD music. It gives the musicians a little bit of time to have the Lord's Supper, to kind of respond in the stations, and then they'll musicians will lead us in music. The music is designed to help us form our own prayers. And so you feel free to wander around to there's no kind of set order. You can spend some time thinking, reflecting on the harvest display as a way to think about bounty and provision. You can move around and tell stories. You might even just want to read some of these. I left these up from this morning. The people in the morning wrote lots of things. And just seeing some of the things that they've written has encouraged me. And it reminds me that generosity is all around. Robert Louis Stevenson wrote this: "Keep your eyes open to your mercies. The one who forgets to be thankful has fallen asleep in life." In other words, I think generosity is all around us. As we think in terms of God, God's generosity is all around. If we open our eyes to see it, if we open our hearts to receive it.